Hello everyone and welcome to my talk about unifying infrastructure and application delivery using Captain here at the FOSDEM CI/CD Dev Room. My name is Thomas Schütz, I'm Principal Cloud Engineer at Dynatrace and a Captain Maintainer. Furthermore, I'm Tech Lead at the CNCF Tech App Delivery, co-author of the CNCF Operator White Paper and a lecturer for Security, Microservices and Infrastructure as Code at a local University of Applied Sciences in Austria. Today we're going to talk about broken deployments, in the past but also today. To get a solid unified deployment approach, we'll need a solid relationship between platform operations and application development. Furthermore, we will discuss an approach on how to reduce the possibility of breaking deployments today, and we will take a closer look on what Captain is and how it can help you dealing with such problems. Last but not least, I'll wrap this up and give you some more information about this topic and how to dive deeper into the Captain world. So, when we designed new systems, ops people ordered servers, mounted them in racks and did some initial configuration, as in NTP, SSH, monitoring, but also installed the runtime environment for developers. When this was done, application developers deployed the application and adapted it when they found changes. Sometimes infrastructure changes were needed on the environment, and after some iterations, the applications worked perfectly fine and everyone wanted to get this to the next stage. So ops people or application developers installed the application there, and it was not really unusual that this didn't work as intended. So what went wrong? The infrastructure changes we made were not introduced in the next environment, and therefore the application was not working properly. So, these were ancient times, and nowadays we got some new things as GitOps, infrastructures, code, cloud infrastructures, and Kubernetes. We might think that all of this has changed and we are not facing these issues anymore. So, let's take a look on it. When applications are developed, new environments are created either sequentially or in parallel. After that, application infrastructure such as ingress controllers, storage classes, and load balancers are configured, and at some point in time, development teams are able to deploy their applications. During development, they find out that they may need additional storage classes, for instance NFS, which is created, and afterwards the service will be deployed. After some time, a more stable environment will be needed for that application, and they want to promote their service there. Now, after the application is deployed, developers find out that this doesn't come up, but also wonder, as the deployed application is exactly the same as on the development environment. After some investigation, they find out that the storage class which is needed for the service has not been introduced in the second stage, and therefore it doesn't work. In this talk, I want to give you ideas on how to deal with this. Sometimes we tend to put the core platform infrastructure, such as Kubernetes itself and its components, and the application infrastructure under one umbrella. As the application might follow another life cycle than the infrastructure, this could lead to different kinds of problems. When your application needs a database and you want to get it upgraded, when would be the perfect time to do this? When will the database be deployed when running in a mixed environment? Would this be before or after the upgrade of the application? In my opinion, the perfect time to update the database would be shortly before the application deployment. So I try to split the infrastructure in two parts, the application infrastructure and the platform infrastructure. The application infrastructure consists of the service itself and the platform infrastructure of all of the services which might be necessary for keeping the system stable and compliant. The application uses the platform infrastructure and a clearly communicated and in a perfect world machine readable agreement between them should exist. When I think on the platform infrastructure itself, I mean infrastructure which is shared between services. To keep the dependencies low and the service as portable, this should be as simple and small as possible. Furthermore, this context should also contain the policy framework. For instance, the Open Policy Agent or Quiverno. Examples for services which might be living here are Kubernetes itself, its ingress controllers, storage classes, and the core monitoring components, but not the application monitoring configuration itself. On the other hand, the application infrastructure should contain the infrastructure which is needed for running a specific application. This should ensure that the infrastructure upgrades or installation happens at the right time, but also brings a lot of control about the infrastructure itself to the developers. But on the other hand, they know best which infrastructure they need. Nevertheless, also this should be as simple and loosely coupled as possible. For instance, sometimes it might be easier to depend on an ingress controller of a specific class and keep the configuration generic than to depend on an Nginx ingress controller with a specific cloud load balancer. I think you get the idea. Typical infrastructure which belongs to this would be the service itself, databases, DNS entries, but also certificates and the monitoring configuration. This also ensures that the application is portable to other environments. By providing interfaces and templates for your configuration, you could ensure that they are configured properly in any way. So now we notice both contexts and might want to get a point where we define a contract between them. And you might wonder if there's one way to achieve this goal. In my opinion, there are different ways to achieve the same goal. Firstly, we could define capabilities, which might tell our application deployment tooling which infrastructure it can expect. For instance, we could find out how Kubernetes is configured and if Open Policy Agent is in place. One more important question could be if network policies can be used, depending on the used CNI plugin. A second approach could be the definition of a versioning scheme for the infrastructure. As an example, we could define that the infrastructure which supports network policies and uses Kubernetes 1.23 and OPA is our version 1. On the other hand, an infrastructure where additional policies are added could be version 2. The third, in my opinion, most intelligent but also hardest approach would be the gathering of this information directly from the infrastructure. For example, we could try to find out if an ingress class exists, and if this is missing, wait until the prerequisite is met and or break the delivery pipeline. Whatever approach will be used, we can use this information in our deployment strategy. We can store and use this information in different ways. The first and the one we'll see today is using config maps, which might be the simplest approach, as it's schemaless and you could store whatever information you like. The second, more structured way would be using custom resource definitions, and obviously also key value stores could be used for this information as an example. In my opinion, it totally makes sense to use this information in your continuous delivery workflow. For instance, you could simply check if storage classes exist before deploying. When using operators, you could check for all of these infrastructure constraints in your control loop and take actions when prerequisites are not met. Regardless where it's stored, you can use this information in your CD workflow and break or wait if some prerequisite is not met. Now we've heard a lot about how we could tackle this problem, but you might wonder how such things could look like in real life. And I will use Captain to demonstrate this. Captain is a control plane on top of Kubernetes, which is used to orchestrate the lifecycle of an application distributed. For instance, you could have one Kubernetes cluster in the cloud which acts as the control plane. You might have some environments where you want your applications to get deployed to, but you might also want one cluster in your data center which sends notifications to your Jira instance or orchestrates your infrastructure. Captain is a CNCF sandbox project and currently in the process of incubating. Its ecosystem is growing and lots of integrations are already available, as Helm, kubectl, and Argo rollouts for deployment, Litmus Chaos for chaos testing, and Gemita, low-cost, but also K6 for load testing. To ensure that the quality criteria of your deployments is met, it is able to use Prometheus or Dynatrace as an SLI provider. In the following demonstration, I used three clusters, one control plane and two execution planes, which represent a dev and a staging environment. In one of the preceding talks, Viktor Farcic told you something about crossplane. For this demonstration, I took a closer look on crossplane and found out that this might be a perfect fit for orchestrating the execution planes of Captain in terms of provisioning Kubernetes clusters, installing Helm charts on top of this, and setting the permissions needed on the execution plane. In further consequence, Crossplane will be used for all infrastructure deployment related tasks in the demonstration, and therefore all Crossplane operations are running on the control plane. Furthermore, we will install an application using a mixture of Helm and Argo rollouts in a blue-green fashion and do some simple checks using K6 before switching the traffic to a new deployment. So, when I started implementing this use case, I defined the workflow for every service in the project in Captain. This is the shipyard file for our platform infrastructure. You see that there are two stages specified, dev and staging. Both consist of one sequence called artifact delivery and three tasks. The relevant ones are the platform setup and setting the infrastructure version. You can think of all of these tasks and sequences in there as interfaces. They are defined on a per project basis, therefore the workflow will be the same for all of the services in the same project. But these tasks can be implemented in different ways. For example, service A could be tested using Gemito, and the second service could be tested using K6. The only thing that matters is that a service and a configuration exists, which specifies how these events are handled. Captain acts event-based, therefore every action which is taken in Captain is triggered by an event. The event here shows that an artifact delivery event has been triggered by me. It will deploy the version 00122, which has been specified up front in the project infrastructure, the service platform and the stage dev. There has to be a service listening on the event to get an action done. I have already deployed the infrastructure up front, but let's trigger one or two service deployments and try to find out what's happening in the meanwhile. When opening the Captain's bridge, we see all of the projects and recently triggered sequences in our installation. In my demonstration, two projects exist, one for the infrastructure itself and one for an application project called the Potato Head. In the first step, we will inspect our infrastructure project a bit. The infrastructure project consists of three stages: a development, staging, and production environment. Its main purpose is to deliver the execution planes and therefore platform infrastructure for applications. We can see which kept services are installed when we switch to the uniform view. This page shows all of the services which are registered in Captain and the events they are subscribed to. In a further step, subscriptions can be changed and also be filtered on the stage, service and project. To see what's really going on with our services, the sequence view gives us information about our previous and currently running deployment workflows. When clicking on a specific sequence, we'll see everything that happened in a workflow. The first step in our workflow ensures that all of the configuration needed is provided in a consistent way for this Git-based approach we are using here. Secondly, the platform setup step installs the execution plane, sets up the Kubernetes primitives on the cluster, and also installs the Helm charts for the Captain services. Afterwards, this step waits until everything is running and would break if the services are not ready after a certain amount of time. Finally, the infrastructure version gets written to a config map, which can be used by the application deployments. We see in our sequence that currently version 00122 is deployed, and information we will need later. To show you how a deployment in Captain could look like, I use one service from the Potato Head. This consists of one Helm chart, and it should install a Redis instance in the Google Cloud instance using Crossplane. In the first step, we'll try to deploy the application with a higher infrastructure version requirement as the one which is currently provided. Therefore, I will switch to the Potato Head project and open a shell. In my case, The minimum infrastructure version is specified in a configuration file in my deployment configuration. For this demonstration, I will change this to a higher version and trigger deployment. Now the sequence should be triggered, and in the first step, we try to find out which infrastructure version is currently running. In our case, this should fail after some point in time. When clicking on the failed task, we see the output of the service which handled this event. In our case, we get the information that the infrastructure version which is currently deployed on the environment is older than the one we require. Now, let's fix this and switch back to an older minimum infrastructure version. Now our sequence gets triggered again, and we should see that the version check succeeds. After checking the infrastructure version, many interesting things happen. So firstly, after the infrastructure version check, we apply our monitoring configuration with Monaco, a service to configure Dynatrace monitoring via code. Afterwards, we triggered our infrastructure delivery, and therefore we also deployed our our Redis database, which we can find in our GCP console now. After the infrastructure delivery, we triggered our application deployment, and then we tested our infrastructure deployment and tried to find out if this behaves as it should. After we tested all of this, we released this. What this means is that we switched the traffic to the newly deployed version afterwards. So after that, the whole development stage was deployed successfully. And now we can automatically deploy the staging environment, which is currently in progress,